This is RSBNB Update, episode 501, recorded Friday, January 23rd, 2015. Apple Store Counseling. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. Sitting in with us on this fine afternoon is one of the fine individuals who could not be here last week, one of the former co-hosts of RSBNB Update, Chief Snake Brad. Hi!
Chief Snake Brad?
Yes.
Wait, I thought his name was Chief Snake.
Yeah,
but oh, this Brad guy.
I don't even recognize that name anymore. It's been like it's been so long since anyone has called me that.
Really?
like because the only person I talk to from RSVP is Shane, and sometimes you, and neither of you call me Chief Snake. So, I have a new
Earth.
Nickname now. I go by Killer for some reason.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
All right, so Hattie and Skull. Yeah, we're good. The Wolf Pack returns. Only question left remaining every time we head up to Relica's, of course, what sound does the fox make? But
Hattie, Skull.
Exactly. So this update comes around every January, and quite honestly, this year it feels exactly like it did all the other previous years, so I don't even know what we're going to discuss about this.
It's like it's a recurring event.
Yeah. I guess I'll say the only major difference this year is that rather than getting exclusive bonus XP, you actually do get a bit of XP from completing each of the parts to it. So you can get some divination XP, prayer XP if you want, combat XP, and woodcutting or agility in addition to the bonus XP. So you do have that going for you. I got 140,000 bonus divination XP. Just putting that out there.
Skill.
Yeah, well, I mean, with bonus XP, it certainly makes it easier for you to train, right?
I guess.
Yeah, but, Hattie Paws, Skull Boots, Air's Helmet, and Spear. And I don't know what else to say about this update except to go there and check it out. And get some bonus XP where you're lacking in either combat, divination, prayer, woodcutting, or agility.
Yay.
Brad, if you ever make a comeback, are you going to get 99 agility, since you were the only one of the group of three who did not?
No.
No. Oh, that's too
Excellent.
Bad.
Excellent.
Isn't it only a group of two now anyway? I mean, the third group member kind of just abandoned us.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Anyways, more about that some other day if I ever get permission to talk about that person. Anyways. Skull Boots, Hattie Paws, Air's Helmet, and Spear. And that's pretty much all we got for Hattie and Skull. Nothing really that amazing here. If no further objections, average. I'm just going to move on to the patch notes for the week.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all there is. You get a you can get a spear or a helmet, and you have to kill it twice, and then you have to trade with another player, and then you go give it to the lady. And you win.
Indeed. Alrighty, so
was
in the
last week's update more interesting?
Yes, last week's update was more interesting, believe it or not.
Okay, so it's just a slow week.
Yeah.
I know what you're trying to do. Huh. Okay.
You don't want me to talk about this person, this NPC's giant bazongas.
Not entirely, no.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, it's not
no,
a thing.
It's a thing. Hold on, let me show you a picture of this NPC.
You know, I figure we better get this out of the way earlier in the year so it doesn't come up on us later in the year.
Just... No, there's got to be a better one. I can't tell you beforehand.
I don't... I do like, though, because I just clicked on that.
You do like those bazongas?
No, I clicked on the picture and it opened it up, and there's kind of the gallery of pictures with the thumbnails across the bottom. And the thumbnail is actually just zoomed in. hold on, I'll just... I assume that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, I see. Yep.
Yeah.
Look at those bazongas.
Why are we not video podcasting yet?
Equipment, bandwidth, my end, that sort of thing. Because, you know, I would only do this if I have, you know, a full HD video camera, you know? And
yeah.
You can buy one for like $30.
Oh, really? Would you be doing the same?
I own one. It is sitting on top of my monitor right now.
Really?
Oh, well, I mean, even if you're not doing a 1080p video kind of thing. Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Oh, I mean, so they can see. Oh, okay.
I didn't see that. It was still loading.
Oh, you didn't see that? All right, tell me when you can see me.
There's probably no point doing it again, but I've seen it before, haven't I?
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I can see now. Even though, I mean, it's meant to be 1080p, but there's no way I'm going to see that at anywhere near that resolution.
And well, we just had a Reed special.
It is.
That's your fault for being in New Zealand.
We just had a Reed special.
Uh-huh.
What do you call that?
It's a thing he did with his fingers.
Yeah, that's an adequate explanation. Yeah.
Right.
All right,
moving
patch
on.
Patch notes. Okay.
Easy.
So, the XP rewards given by Hattie Skull and Air have been rebalanced. As people have noted, they did get significantly more than previously. Iron Woman and Iron Man are now available as clan job titles. Players who leave or are removed from their clans are now able to rejoin their old clan immediately. They must still wait 7 days before they can join a different clan.
I guess that's because people get kicked and then they can't rejoin.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, it seems like a traditional JX oversight in that part, which is okay. That's what makes the world go round.
Oversights by JAGEX?
Yeah, little things like that. Anyways, 104 million XP achievements will now be broadcast correctly to friends.
What is the deal with 104 million XP?
That is level 120.
120.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll get there one day.
Why did they just say that, level 120?
Because it doesn't actually exist.
Because not everything necessarily goes up to level 120?
Nothing goes up to 120. It's just an imaginary number that you get a free cape when you reach 104 million XP.
Well, actually, Dungeoneering does. Shame. Yeah, well,
I was going to say, even I know Dungeoneering does. But...
Well, aside from that. But
so you do get a cape for like any other skill at 104 million XP?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why
don't
they just make it go up to 120?
Because players didn't understand what they were trying to do when they pulled this idea, and as a result, they had to scrap it.
Yeah, I mean, having it go up to level 120 seems incredibly arbitrary.
Yeah, I mean,
if you didn't understand JAGEX's XP system, then you wouldn't. Yeah,
you shouldn't care and shouldn't have been voting in that.
I don't care.
Anyways, here's a good one. You ready for this?
No.
Players will now correctly receive seeds, if relevant, from tree patches if cleared via the tree directly instead of the farmer.
Okay.
So there was an issue with the scroll life not working if you...
I love that thing.
Yeah, if you used your shovel to clear it rather than using the farmer to clear it. Which makes me wonder how many seeds I've been scammed of, you know?
You scam me.
Well, yeah, because I use this thing daily, and it would be nice to have some more seeds back, which, you know, this week I did get quite a few. So, anyways, let's see. Speaking to Bob Barter at the Grand Exchange, you can now toggle whether or not you wish to receive the remaining vial after finishing the last dose of a potion. So that's the decanting wizard. Yeah, that is magical, after all. There's right. Now an entrance to Relica in the Eastern Spear Wall.
Oh, good.
I know. Good. Yeah.
It's about damn time.
You have to go all the way around and come in all through the south.
All the way around, yep.
Though on the negative, that's another way for the penguins to escape.
No, they can just go into the pen.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're in there and they're not being corralled into the pen already.
There are like three doorways.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, that's one of the favorite spots of Team Penguin to corral penguins into the Relica pen.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Moving on. Let's see. Players can now set the target level on each skill to 120, similar to Dungeoneering, rather than having to enter in the manual XP value.
Well, that's good.
See, yeah, isn't that just another reason? Another reason why they should increase the max level for all skills?
Yeah.
They're gonna give you that option anyway.
There's a pressing reason to increase the level cap to 120, but there's also one or two reasons why we really shouldn't increase it, which I'll inform you of later if you're interested in hearing about that.
Not really.
Oh, okay. Anyways, that's all I got from the patch notes.
Just trying to contribute.
Anything for you guys?
Shane. Huh?
Anything for you guys in the patch notes?
No.
Alrighty. Shall we move on to the polling update then?
So it's the February seasonal high scores. And the choices are Vire Corpses Cremated, Most Solo Dungeons Complete, Most Sinkhole Points, Most Cabbages Harvested, Most Urns Teleported, and I Don't Mind. I Don't Mind is winning by 11%. And 35. Then, huh?
Which is at 35.
Yes, yeah, sorry. It's at 35%, and the next highest is Most Solo Dungeons Complete at 24%. So it is clear that nobody cares.
Or I voted.
Everyone wants to be alone. I voted I Don't Mind.
I voted for Cabbages.
Yeah.
Cabbages. I would vote for that.
But who cremates Vire Corpses? Nobody goes there after the. Oh, okay.
So,
why?
So because I do temple trekking.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Can one of you explain this to me? Like, what is the point of the seasonal high scores, and what is it tracking exactly?
E-peen.
It's basically a monthly high score table.
I didn't expect to hear that.
It's a high score table that rotates between various things. Like, for example, in I think it was November or December, we had the most herbs harvested. There was one once for the most deaths in the wilderness. There was one once for the most solo kills against Zilliana. Yeah, it's a month at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for people...
I was really hoping that they'd have a way of just showing... say how many cabbages a player has harvested, like in their lifetime of playing RuneScape, that kind of thing. Because that would be really funny to see, like without any motivation for EPing, as Reed might suggest. Just you know, to be able to see how many cabbages one has harvested.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, these are just a way for people to gain a bit of. Famousness or become famous, I guess you could say, if you don't have a top skill on the high scores. And no, I'm not going to say that. But anyways.
It's the technical term for it.
Yeah, I'm sure that's in some internet
Let's
dictionary.
Let's never
somewhere.
Use that term again.
It is.
Thank you.
It
Thank
is,
you.
In fact.
Thank you.
At least can we not dictionary. Shorten it to peen? That's not
internet,
okay.
E-peen, internet slang
no.
for ego, pride, or attitude in the virtual world. long-standing net definition for the age-old bigger penis argument.
All right, moving on. this past Sunday, Jagex made an attempt to host their first ever in-game game show, I guess you could call it, called The Drop. And there was a service disruption that oddly coincided with this. Yeah.
This is bad.
For anybody who is not aware what The Drop was, I'll just explain that quickly, then I'll let Reed explain what happened. Basically, the idea was with The Drop is you would go into this place in RS. I don't exactly know where the entry point was, but you'd pay a 1 million GP entry fee. And then what you would do is you would answer questions. And at the end of the day, there would supposedly be a winner as to, you know, who would win the big game show and become, well, the game show champion. Now, what happened?
Servers went down and people, like, they lost 1 million GP and people were pretty pissed about that. And my clan's homeworld is World 66. And I teleported to Falador and there's a bunch of people right there. So, Riot!
Classic.
Classic indeed.
But at the end of the day, Jagex did decide that they were going to be reimbursing everybody who participated in this, regardless of whether or not they lost money.
Which is good. I'm glad they did that.
Which is the right thing to do in this regard.
Yeah.
They said it was a denial of service attack.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not.
Because
I mean, it very well could be.
Yeah, but... and I have the same doubts as you, or maybe questions about this, because if you think about it, whenever Jagex tries to do something new like this, there's always, you know, the chance that the server will go down or something. And the fact it went down at the exact time is a little bit suspect. So,
yeah.
I mean, what we heard is, as you may be aware, some game worlds are having intermittent connectivity issues due to disruption affecting internet traffic to our networks. We're doing everything we can to mitigate any impact on your gameplay. We're really sorry for any inconvenience this may be causing. Whilst this is ongoing, we advise players to avoid high-risk gameplay activities, which could result in character death if you get unexpectedly disconnected. So it sounds like a DDoS to me, but we'll never know on the inside. We do hope that, of course, the drop does continue on, and I think it'd be very interesting to see where they could go with this, because this kind of echoes of the 1 versus 100 thing that used to happen on Xbox Live. Granted,
that would be excellent.
This is not nearly as in-depth or as, I guess you could call it, engaging as 1 versus 100 was.
New. Not nearly.
Yeah, that was really great. For anybody who doesn't know, in the last decade, at some point, there was a TV game show called 1 versus 100, and it was hosted by Bob Saget. And the idea
is
that one person would take on 100 other people in what was known as the mob. And whichever one would win, the one would either take all the money or the 100 would take all the money. And Microsoft took this up and had a larger version of this on Xbox Live at once upon a time, but it is since been removed.
And I still have achievements from that I have not unlocked, and it pisses me off because I can never do that again.
Oh, wow. Any thoughts on the DDoS, Brad?
Not really. I mean, if it's not actually kind of fully legitimate, then I don't know. Maybe they did something to the game which kind of brought it on them, you know, caused spikes in traffic.
Yeah, well, this would definitely
just
do
a
that.
Thought, but I don't know. Otherwise,
yeah, we're not Jagex's network engineers, so we can't. Look,
I
that
mean,
far.
DDoSes happen all
that?
The time, and everybody is susceptible to them, so it's kind of not really something I'd be too skeptical about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't do much.
No, you just need to get a bigger pipe. Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so Rune Labs is now taking idea submissions. This is, of course, what we talked about last week, where you could submit your idea, garner community support behind it, and the ideas that Jagex likes that are highly voted will inevitably make it to a player power poll. So, anybody submitting any ideas so far?
Nope.
Same here. Why is that?
Because there's no reason to yet.
Explain.
It's not going to be voted on for like a month, and it's just a shit pool right now.
Wow, I can't believe you said that.
I told you not to go look at the suggestions because they can't be voted on, so it's just...
Yeah. And you know, another problem with this list is there's no way to search it. I mean, you can search by category, and you can say you want to see things pertaining to
the
skills.
The fact that you can't vote on it and the fact there's no search appear to be the top two complaints about it.
Yeah.
So.
And, you know, there's always, you know, the basket case suggestions. Remove Rune Labs. Remove EOC. Remove Legacy.
You mean jokes?
Yeah, okay.
Those are jokes.
Yeah.
Not everyone is serious.
But the question is, how is... Like, if you get enough people submitting these joke ones like that, they're ultimately going to overpower the noise of what's actually there. So what happens if Jagex makes an update that people really, really do hate?
There's a reason that there's an and in the premise for this. Players vote on it and Jagex likes it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah, it's their safety net.
Yep.
Yeah, you always got to have one of those. You know, I think the idea that I would want to submit, the idea that I've wanted to have in RS for so long, but it's never came around, you know what it is?
Aquariums.
No, we got that last week or 2 weeks ago.
I know.
But time runes and a quest pertaining to temporal physics. What?
This don't again?
Don't you think it'd be interesting to stop time and speed up the recharge time of your abilities? And
the tick rate is already low enough. It's time has stopped already. It's like bullet time. Something happens, you have like 5 minutes to respond before it'll update on screen. Right?
But what if your internet's bad?
Same.
But your ping might not get there in time.
You have 5 minutes and it times out after what, like 20 seconds? Normally? Yeah. It'll be fine.
Yeah, there's one here called... opening player moderator applications.
They used to have
moderator
that.
Applications.
Yeah.
They used
when
to have
that.
Thing?
No, they didn't, did they?
There
yeah,
was
they
a forum sticky long,
oh
long ago.
God.
You could post in it and have your name in there, and then maybe they'd put your name
yeah,
in the
you
hat.
Yeah, you could nominate yourself or another player.
Yeah.
Wow. That sounds like a terrible idea.
Well, they canceled it, so I don't know.
yeah. Every post was hidden once it was posted.
It sounds like a terrible idea if players are the ones suggesting that it should be implemented. Because, I mean, they're the ones who want to, as Reed might say, increase the sizes of their epines. So, I feel so uncomfortable using that. I don't know.
Why?
I totally agree with you.
Shane, you feel uncomfortable if you see anything above a person's ankles. So.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, pretty
so,
much.
You know, at the end of the day, are we going to come up with anything good out of this? So. Let's just leave our minds
terrible,
and enter in
getting more terrible
alternate state of reality and fast forward to December 2015. Of the updates that come this year, Are any of them that come from Rune Labs going to be hits out of the park?
Only if they add in baseball.
I don't think the rest of the world knows what baseball is. That's a very American thing.
Well, they're a bunch of commies then. They deserve to be taken out back and shot. Baseball is, and
that's coming from a Kiwi.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's not something that we play, but...
You know what it is.
American movies, man. You can't avoid it.
True, true. Very true. Yeah.
Just as much as American football is a thing.
Football!
That no one likes.
I agree 110% with that.
No one likes, but everyone knows about it. 110%?
Man.
That's a lot of percent.
Yep. Well, it's just become my way of saying that I really agree with something and I'll never be changing my mind on it. Anyways, Rune Labs, submit your ideas. If you have a good idea and you want to share it with me, just send it to me on the forums in a PM or email me, shane@rsbnb.com, and I'll have a look at it.
Shane has influence.
And when it's time to vote, maybe we'll talk about it on the show.
Woo!
Shane will get your idea implemented.
I don't know about that, but we'll see. I
was trying to think of a cool quip for that, but it didn't work.
Membership prices are going up effective March 1st.
Woo!
New prices are as follows. 1 month, $9.49 US.
Holy shit!
$5.99 Great British pounds. €8.49, €11.49 Australian, and $9.99 Canadian.
Wait, so, didn't they up this like last month?
No, they announced it was going to be up, but this is the actual table showing it.
And wasn't it like $7.95 a month before?
Yes.
Okay.
Prior to that, wasn't it $5?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still paying $5.
Same here.
Oh my god! Really? Wow.
Yep.
$9.49 a month.
The Australian price is not that high, though.
Yeah, that's pretty good for them.
Because I think the New Zealand prices would be really, really similar to that. And that wouldn't have changed that much. So maybe that is just a reflection of the exchange rate.
It's actually marked up a bit because $11.49 Australian is actually $9.11 US.
Yeah, I mean...
So...
Oh, okay.
So it's not a direct conversion, but it's kind of close. And, changes will probably be in place for another couple years, give or take. Quite honestly, $9.49 for RS.
You're still going to pay it, though, aren't you?
Well, I mean, I'm grandfathered into the old one, right? So it's not.
But you would. Would you? If you had to? Or would that be motivation enough to not?
Well, here's the deal. I can support myself in game with bonds in terms of buying membership with that if I had to. So that would always be an option. 2 bonds a month is required to play for 28 days. So that is a way that a person could do this. But $9.49, that's kind of what we predicted, and it seems like the logical step up. I just think you're going to have a hard time convincing some people to pay this.
Yeah, it's getting expensive.
What's the price of a World of Warcraft subscription?
15 a month.
It's funny because that's the typical thing you have to compare it to, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still cheaper than World of Warcraft. I think every other MMO is $15 a month.
Yeah, okay, so then we're good, as long as maintain
that. I've always struggled to understand how anyone can afford or would want to pay that. But
Yeah. Let's see, World of Warcraft, yep, $14.99 USD per month. But, as always when we talk about the sensitive issue of membership prices, I would like to remind players that we're not in a game economy where everything is necessarily pay to win and you need to pay real world money to actually make profit in game. Star Trek Online is a case where that is actually happening, and it's very hard to make in game cash there as a free-to-play person. So I just want to say that...
Can confirm.
With RS, you're actually paying for the game, and you're not paying for the ability to make money in-game to
You're not paying
yourself.
For the ability to pay to win.
Exactly. That's what I mean to say. So...
I gotcha.
That makes me feel happy about the current way RS is set up. And, you know, looking at their real-world microtransaction aspects compared to other games, World of Tanks in particular, the Solomon's General Store does not provide an in-game advantage in-game. And the only real way you can get an advantage in-game by paying is by buying Treasure Hunter keys. And if you want to do that, then I guess you're entirely allowed to do so, but that's just the way you choose to play your game. But you don't necessarily need to play Treasure Hunter to be successful at RS. That's the takeaway, I think, for this section, is that you can be successful at RS with just a standard membership and not pay to win.
Right.
Indeed.
Yep. Also, bond prices are going up by $1. $1.
Woo!
And of course, you will also now get 15 Treasure Hunter keys rather than 14, and you'll get 195 rune coins. So those did go up with that.
Oh my god. Jagex need more polygons.
Huh?
What?
I'm just looking at the next link. The
oh, the ports?
Behind the scenes. The video for that, which I'm not actually watching, but the
preview?
Yeah, the preview, the placeholder thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's something RS has always been known for, is low polygon animations and models. So
it just happens to be incredibly obvious in close-ups.
Yeah. But, anyways... Speaking of that, next week we got the ports expansion, which you can hear more about in BTS video 136. Of interesting things coming with this update is the ability to access your port without actually going to port.
Oh, God.
Is that a good oh, God, or a bad oh, God?
I'm not sure yet.
But as we talked about previously, you will need 90 Dungeoneering, Agility, and Divination for this ports update.
Say that again?
90 Agility, Dungeoneering, and Divination.
Damn it.
To access the new adventurers. So there's something that people can begin with, right? Right?
Oh, well.
That's okay. I'll be our ports correspondent next week. And just remember, if need be, get that guy back to port. Yeah, that's referring to the age-old player-owned ports jingle.
Age-old?
Well, yeah, it's like age-old. It's like 3 years old now.
No, it's not. Okay, no, you're making that up.
Two in a bit, but it is really getting
up
there.
No, you're making that up. I refuse to believe you.
It is at least 2 years old, because the RuneFest that Alex went to, they did a live rendition of the song. And it had already been out for a year at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
No. Stop. Stop. Stop.
Make it stop.
Stop. No.
Oh.
Reed has spoken.
Yes, he did.
Or anti-spoken.
Alrighty. So there's your RS updates for this week, everybody. Hopefully you've had an enjoyable week on RS. We're going to move on to the question right now, which comes from an old friend of ours, Trekkie.
Dibs.
Alrighty.
Oh, no, Brad. Brad, I'll let you take this.
That means I have to go back into the show notes. dear great readers.
Great readers.
Yeah. Dear great leaders of RSVMB, question for you, my dear Shane. How many times is Reed allowed to beep in each podcast from now until the end of time? from former podcast host Tricky Dude.
That's true.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
His beep limit is limited to 5 per episode, which we're currently at 0. So his
limit
is going to be the number of episodes remaining minus 1 times 5.
So we're 49 minutes into our call right now, so I feel like it's probably okay for an example, because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we're 36 minutes into the show. Yeah, see?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I was just... Oh, that
there's
kind
two.
Of beep.
Yeah, that oh, kind okay. of beep. He right. beeps every time I say fuck.
That's 3. Because we like to keep this family friendly, because, you know, there is only so much time when we were doing the show with that other guy way back when we were not family friendly, and you know, that's something that
I love that you say that, yet he was gonna be on last week.
Well, he was the least family friendly co-host out of anyone here.
Yeah. But in a good
only because
way.
You censor me.
Oh, I can censor you even more.
Thanks, Batman.
You know, there's a saying that the best newscast is a newscast that doesn't tell the truth.
That's why you love Fox News.
I never watched the damn show.
No.
Anyways, yeah. But we do try and keep it family-friendly occasionally. In the midst of editing, one or two might slip through, and I'm sorry if that's the case to anybody out there listening, but if it does happen, feel free to send me a private message or an email anywhere, and I will take note of it and make more effort for the next episode to make sure that something like that does not happen.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Thank you, Trekkie.
Okay, that was our one question this week. I have a question. I have a question that was directed by my flatmate. His name is Rick. This is a question for both of our current co-hosts. Would you rather fingers the size of your legs or legs the size of your fingers?
Fingers the size of my legs?
Don't think, just speak.
Or legs the size of my fingers.
Legs the size of fingers.
Ooh, you monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think I'd opt for an amputation. Those choices.
That is not an option.
Well, at this point, I suppose having just two legs that are small would be easier to amputate than 10 leg-sized fingers.
I don't know if a leg the size of a finger would be able to hold the weight of a full body.
Exactly.
But if you had fingers the size of your legs...
Shane,
you
do you have fingers?
Of course. Do you?
Yes.
Good.
I can confirm that Shane has fingers, that Reed has fingers. Oh, no, actually, no, I can, because we saw them earlier in the show. Okay, yeah, that settles that.
Okay, well, if you guys would like to send us a question, you can do that in a couple ways. If you want to send an audio question, email it to questions@rsbnb.com. Or if you want to send in a text question, topic goes up on Monday, just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/ask.
Woo!
I do have one more question, because we have heaps of time, don't we? This is a question for Reed, which I was not able to ask like a couple of weeks ago because I was too late to get it posted in the topic. But I was just wondering what changes you hope to bring about to the show during your tenure as co-host. This is probably something that's also already been answered previously.
Probably, but we are going to. I'm not going to let Shane get away with any shit. if he says something that's clearly and clearly needs to be fixed.
Reprimanded.
I'm not going to let it slide.
And that's what the power of the edit is for.
Asshole. And, well, I mean, I'm also the leader of the community ambassador team, and we are talking about some things right now, but I am unfortunately not at liberty to discuss those at the present time. But expect to see something within the next month or two.
Is that like a,
I'm sorry. Can you repeat all of that, Brad? I accidentally turned the volume down. I sat on the little thing. I turned the volume of my headset down.
No, that's cool.
Good.
Okay, those are my questions. Thank you, hosts.
Indeed.
Yay! Our first live audio question, right?
No, that's happening.
No,
before.
They're live shows.
Second.
Yeah. Magic
second.
Because I just did two questions. Anyway.
Yeah, from Rick.
Thank you, Rick. Oh. We love you if you're listening.
And hopefully he gets out of his skydiving thing okay.
Well, what? What?
I mean,
moving on.
Hopefully his skydiving adventure is a success, right?
Well, they usually are.
I'm just saying, but anyways.
I mean, so far he's got a 0% success rate, but... It can only improve from here, right?
Are you going with him?
No, I'm not.
Oh, too bad.
Well, I don't plan on it anyway.
Well, with that being said, we're going to move on to tech news. And first up this week in what is going to be the smallest piece of tech news compared to what it's coming after is something I'm pleased to announce for everybody and to share with you all is that LastPass is now available in application form for OS X. So this is great if you want a password manager that you can run on your OS X system outside of the web browser without shelling out $50 for one password, which is the native OS X solution. I'm not a LastPass user, so I do not have this installed, but I know lots of people who do use LastPass, and I can say that using LastPass is definitely something you do want to consider if you are currently not using it. And there's just all the more reason to use it now with the version for OS X. So you can get that at lastpass.com.
Woo!
Now, yeah. I have a question for you, Reed.
All right.
How does the LastPass iOS application perform?
I don't know. And that leads us into the next one nicely. So, the next piece of tech news is Windows 10. And
I really didn't want to talk about LastPass.
No. Just wait. And okay. The next piece of tech news is Windows 10. And I, just this afternoon, went and picked up a Windows 8.1 phone.
Oh,
so
God.
I don't know anything about iPhones anymore, Shane. I got the HTC One M8, and it is excellent.
That's not a Windows phone, though.
Yeah, it is. It runs Windows 8.1.
What?
It's both.
It's both. Wait, what? I don't understand.
Seriously, it's both. I swear to God.
How long has that been a thing for?
I don't know. It's a thing now, and I wouldn't tell Shane that at the beginning of the show. I just kept telling him, "Oh, it's classified. I can't tell you."
Oh, so that's where you're going.
What's where I'm going?
To pick this up.
Right.
No,
now,
I already
now
got
I
it.
See, I well, see why they f***ed up. If it's a 1M8.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right, so can we get to the actual tech news at hand here, please?
Yeah, that was...
You didn't actually follow my advice of going to an Apple store for a counseling session.
No, I didn't.
A counseling session?
Yeah, I know, right?
What? No, don't ever do that.
Well, I suggested...
Well, hello, thank you for coming in today, sir. We'd be delighted to help you with your problems, your mental problems.
Well, yeah, I was thinking maybe you could go there as a last resort to try and get some resolution on your iPhone, so you could...
Resolution?
The only resolution is to abandon it, Shane. I'm sorry, but it's the final solution.
No,
it's the final solution.
Do not use those words. Do not use those words.
It's the final solution.
The final solution and the only solution.
Oh, no.
No.
You sound genuinely upset.
I am.
You're upset that I got a Windows phone?
Yes. Because I thought we had some more time.
I thought I had more time.
He's gone now. He's lost.
I know.
I feel like I'm uniquely positioned since I work at a Microsoft shop now. A lot of people who I work with have Windows phones, but
many
people have actually ditched them and gone back to either iOS or Android.
Good. Good.
Which I think is really interesting because, you know, we are Microsoft partners and a very few of us actually have those phones. A lot of us like use Nexuses, basically.
Can I just explain what my number one issue is with the Windows Phone experience?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the applications surrounding it. Nobody writes applications for Windows or for Windows Phone. There's no ecosystem around it forever. If you just want to use default applications, you're going to be good. But otherwise,
that leads us in really nicely to Windows 10, right? I mean,
Thank you for keeping us on track. Why you wanted to go with a Windows phone?
Well, within the next month, the reason I just went ahead and did this is because the battery on my old and decrepit iPhone 5 has been dying. And I was like, all right, I can buy a new battery for the phone, or I can just buy a new phone. Because I was going to free myself eventually, and I was waiting for this Windows 10 announcement, and since they said that every phone running Windows 8.1 can upgrade to Windows 10 for free and it still be supported for its lifetime. So,
all right.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, and the technical preview will be coming out within the next month, so we are going to be on the bleeding edge, Shane.
For the phone, too?
For the phone, too. Right now, I am coming to you live from the Windows 10 technical preview, the leaked one, build 9901.
That's racist, Shane.
Yeah, that's really racist.
I was saying 999. I thought that was going to be the build number, but anyways.
No. But unfortunately, when I went to the AT&T store, they gave me the wrong phone.
Oh,
so
okay.
I've got to take it back.
Can I come with you?
You going to be here before... like 7 Eastern Standard Time?
Yeah, I'll just jump on the transport and get over there, yeah.
I like vague use of the term transport.
Anyways, Windows 10. So
can I just ask Reed a quick question?
Yes,
please. How does it work with upgrading from 8.1 to Windows Phone 10? Like, because Android, for instance,
I'll let you know.
With fragmentation. Like every manufacturer releases their own updates, right? When they're ready.
I don't know.
Yeah, you should have went for a Microsoft native hardware piece.
Those exist.
Well, that's sort of what I was thinking.
I mean, I talked to Paul.
I don't know what there is besides Nokia.
Yeah,
I talked to Paul about this, and also the guy at the AT&T store, and he said that you're making a great choice. You don't want a Nokia. Anyone who buys the HTC One comes in, they already know what they want, and I've never had anyone return one. So
did he try and sell you an iPhone 6?
No. So I went in and I said, hi, I would like a Windows phone on the HTC One M8.
I still think he
said, all right.
They still f***ed up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, there's one for you. But
that's the second one, actually. But
yeah.
There's one for
you.
Now
you're going to have to go back and find the other one.
You know, I still think you should have swung by the Apple store for a counseling session.
No.
Nope.
Hello, sir. How are you, sir?
Noxious.
Well, that's very cool anyway.
That's my impression of Apple Store employees, because they are, in fact, from another planet.
I think they're very nice.
How may I help you, sir?
A lot of other retailers
would you like to buy an iPad, sir?
Could gain something by following what they do. Anyways, they're Windows 10.
Creepy!
No, they're not. They seem entirely normal and genuine.
Hello, sir.
So Windows 10.
Yeah. I'm going to preface this by saying I think Windows 10 looks really great. I think there's only two things missing from Windows 10 that would convince somebody who has used the Mac for almost 10 years now that Windows 10 is a superior OS to OS 10. And those two things are, one, the ability of having some built-in file backup utility that's easy to browse and use, like Time Machine and Versions. And number two, the fact that Windows developers, very few of them, don't seem to write nice-looking applications or just nice applications in general for the platform. But I could be wrong on that in that be changing, because, you know, as Microsoft did, they open source the entire C# thing and are going to be making all their development tools free. So we could be turning
a
new
really
page.
Interesting thing, actually. Yeah, I guess you've covered that already a while ago.
Yeah, we did. it's something I think is long overdue, and I mean, it probably doesn't hurt you as a Windows developer now, does it?
No, not at all. I mean, if anything, it's better. It strengthens the resource base that we have. Sure, why not? Yeah. I mean, but the more documentation that comes up on the internet for everybody,
better.
And so the more people who are developing, the better, etc.
I just could not get over spending $999 or whatever it was to get a copy of Visual Studio to be able to write things that would go in the Windows Store.
Yeah,
if
that's
I wanted
ridiculous,
to.
Right? Yeah.
Anyways,
I mean,
Windows 10.
It will be interesting if Windows 10 introduces enough features in the SDK for Metro applications to be able to have more of them to be able for them to be able to be a suitable replacement for traditional desktop applications. Because I think the way forward is really for those Metro applications, because they're consistent.
Yep.
There need to be more of those, but we're never going to get consistent desktop applications like you have on OS X, and that's just
No. You're wrong. It's entirely not consistent on OS X. If anything, Yosemite blew that door wide open. You do not have consistent looking applications anymore.
Right,
the last version of OS X that was consistent was Tiger 10.4. But
I suppose with every new iteration, they bring in.
I mean, I can show you four different applications from Apple. They all look entirely different, and they all behave entirely in different ways.
Hooray!
But anyways, Windows 10, Windows 10, Windows 10. Reed, what do we got to look forward to? That was shown this week.
There is one thing I'm really excited about. You can stream games from your Xbox One to your Surface. Oh, well,
someone
to any...
told me about this, and I was like, why would you want to do that?
This is the killer feature.
All right, so hold on. I'll explain it to you. So, Shane, say your mom is watching The Voice, and you really want to play Titanfall. He has his Xbox One set up so that he can watch TV through it, and his family can watch TV through it. But he doesn't want to watch The Voice, but his mom really wants to watch The Voice, but he also really wants to play Titanfall. So what do you do? Oh, he can just stream it to his computer.
Okay, so the idea is that you can just have your Xbox in the living room.
Yeah.
It's like Steam and home
streaming.
It
for TV. Like, yeah, it's basically that.
Yeah, I mean, I like Steam home streaming. It just...
It's really cool.
You'd want to do it that way around rather than... But that makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
And also the Xbox application is coming to the PC as well, so you'll
be
able to
access
all of your, Xbox stuff on your computer. And, this is Microsoft's forward-looking solution for gaming, I think, which is ultimately the way to go.
Yeah, that's pretty cool then. Have they demoed that, the streaming?
Yeah, they did. They
demoed
it.
Do you know what it's like compared to the Steam streaming?
It was just a demo, so no.
Okay. I mean, does the streaming kind of put any additional pressure on the Xbox or anything?
I mean, it's just doing HDMI pass through, so
yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how they render it, but with DirectX 12 everything's going to be a lot more efficient, right?
Yeah. But
so
I actually know a bit about how the Xbox works in that regard.
Okay.
I was looking it up this past weekend when it came to looking as to, what the hell it's doing for Blu-ray. But basically the way it works is if you're watching TV, all the Xbox does is it takes your TV signal and overlays the relevant UI on it should you request a UI. So it's not exactly using that much of the CPU for rendering. So in that way, it will just be the same way as, playing a game and having the TV snapped up right next to the game.
Okay.
But I mean, in terms of streaming, it's got to capture the screen and feed that over the network.
It's
like Steam does it.
I mean, it's rendering in the background, I guess.
And then you just pipe it out over the network rather than HDMI, I'd assume.
Yeah, I mean, or no, via Ethernet or Wi-Fi if you're insane.
Yeah,
although that said, wireless in works very well. 5 gigahertz wireless in. I streamed Fallout New Vegas to my Surface at 2160 by 1440 over wireless in. There's no lag, and this is max settings.
And I have a wireless in network here, and I remember I told you a year or so ago, our wireless is great, it's fast, and... You didn't believe me because you hadn't used N yet.
Well, I was also on DSL.
Aye, true.
Nothing is fast with DSL.
Very true.
5 gigahertz is really nice. I've tried that as well for streaming. I think it worked pretty well, too. I wasn't streaming anything big at the time. I think it was only like 720p stuff to my laptop.
Nah, that's fine. Another thing I'm really happy about with Windows 10 is the new browser it's getting is apparently going to be able to run Chrome extensions and is going to be more native to Windows than IE.
Yeah. So, I mean, this year I'm going to be running, especially with this upcoming build, Windows 10 Technical Preview as my primary operating system. So I will be letting you guys know of developments.
Yeah, let me just jump in here and say that I think an operating system having a native browser is ultimately a good thing. I was really getting annoyed with Chrome on OS X, so I jumped back to Safari. It integrates much nicer. And I think if you can use the native browser for your OS, that's good. So when Windows 10 comes around, I will probably use this new browser because for a long time, I've been saying the second best browser on Windows after Chrome is Internet Explorer.
Yeah, and going along with that, on my Surface, I use Internet Explorer exclusively because it's the native browser.
Just wait, he has so a good reason.
And it's made by Microsoft on the Microsoft Surface, so the touch features are flawless.
Yeah, I do know what you mean like that. I mean, the problem that I have with Internet
Explorer, I still use Chrome on my desktop.
Yeah.
So
I think Spartan's probably going to solve the problems that I have with it. But it's really just that Internet Explorer looks horrible. It's not kind of a native application.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, you only have to look at the scroll bars to see that it's doing something completely different to every other Windows application. I don't know. But on the other hand, like, as a browser, it's actually doing very, really, really well for itself.
Yeah,
I really like it.
So we'll see. As long as, of course, they have a way for it to update seamlessly and irrespective of the rest of the operating system, then we'll be good.
Okay.
Yep.
Other Windows 10 things demoed: Cortana, basically Microsoft's version of Siri, is coming.
Did
to
they
Windows
announce
10.
If that's going to be on the Xbox yet?
I don't know. I don't think I heard anything with that.
And you know, I was really irritated because at the beginning of this, I was just going to go, "Hey Cortana," and freak you out, but that didn't work out.
Well, I mean, I would have thought you were talking to your desktop because you are running the Windows 10 preview.
That doesn't work in this build just yet.
Isn't there a new one out as of like yesterday?
No, that's coming out next week.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Because if there is another build out today, then I'd really like to know about that because I'm going to install.
How often do you upgrade? I mean, this is your primary operating system?
I'm not sure. I mean, I installed this version just yesterday, day before.
Oh, right.
Because I was running an older build, and this is the one that got leaked, and you can't upgrade in place. So I just wiped it and did that. I mean, I'm still saving all of the stuff on my other partitions.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not losing anything if I wipe it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question I ultimately have about this, you know, people use Siri and whatnot for hands-free, Google Now, OK Google, but are people going to talk to their desktops and surfaces?
I'll let you know.
I thought this sounded really stupid when it came out as well. I don't think it fits in a regular desktop.
I mean,
I think it fit really well on my Surface. Yeah, maybe not my desktop, but definitely the Surface.
I mean, if I can... Here's the case where it will be usable. You press a button, you say, "Computer, open Google Chrome."
I don't Google. Have... Hold on.
Then you could have your search thing and say, "Search for whatever
it
might be."
I think the problem with desktops is that they very rarely actually come with microphones built in anyway.
Yeah. True.
Laptops all the time, sure, but and maybe that's just what they're going for, laptops and tablets and things, but
there.
Yeah, because when you think about it, you are going to run your desktop as a power user if you're using it on a desktop, you know?
There's my desktop right now. If you look, you can actually
the Microsoft confidential notice there.
Yeah, you can actually type it in or just speak
good.
To it. Hold on.
Okay.
And yeah, I can't talk back to you in this build. Just sad.
So I
can
think
in the next one.
Ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's going to be a growing process in much the same way Siri has grown over the last number of years, but we're not going to cross that gap until you can completely, you know, control the computer with your voice and you don't need a keyboard at all. for me, the holy grail of a computer UI would, you know, be perfect voice control. And then what would end up being a miniature Kinect sensor or Kinect-like sensor where you can use gestures like that on your desktop. I think that'd be really neat.
Well, except, sure, but that's not very conducive to doing that all day, just flailing your arms about.
Well, I mean, that's the number one rule of ergonomics, is that you don't want to be doing the same action all the time. So there's nothing to say you need to use the gestures 100% of the time. You can just use them when it makes sense.
I guess. How often do you use the ones on the Xbox?
When I am coming into the room.
Do you?
Okay. Yeah. I use them occasionally.
Yeah. Or if I need to launch an application and it's already on the home screen, I just use my hand rather than talking, you know? But anyways, So Cortana, another thing coming from this is, of course, you know, the start menu, but we saw that last year, so we won't talk too much about that. But the two technology previews, a giant touchscreen TV, which
is the Surface Hub.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Interesting.
And, you know, it,
I guess
there's no reason for that technology to not exist already. So it seems like a natural step forward.
It just seems like a smart board.
Yeah, exactly. But the virtual reality headset.
That's really cool.
I agree with that.
I watched a Google Hangouts thing with Major Nelson, the Xbox guy who's not Phil Spencer, and one of the developers of it, and it just from what they were saying, it was astounding.
Yeah. Basically, you put this thing on your head, and then it interacts with computers and whatnot, and it can present a 3D image that you can react and manipulate with and then save it. So examples given at the simple end are having a Skype conversation and see the person appear directly in front of you, or playing Minecraft on your living room table.
That was the really cool part for me, is Minecraft, because...
or blocks.
Major Nelson was, Larry Herb was telling the story of how when they were in the room, there was a table in front of him. And like he, I don't know if he just made a motion to destroy it or something, but then he looked down over it and looked like down into the earth and he saw lava.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought that was really cool.
I read a review on The Verge, which sounded really similar to that. They were kind of saying, like, it just is incredible what they've managed to do. Like, it's just seamless. But they're not really sure if it's useful for anything yet.
Yeah.
Or if they're going to be able to actually do anything with it.
Well, I got a use case for you.
All right.
Military training.
I think the problem was that they couldn't really touch anything, which made it feel less natural than it
True.
Should have been.
And that's, and you know, you don't.
It was all just gesture based. In that.
But you're not actually creating a physical hologram. But nonetheless, very neat.
It's a really big step.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I mean,
so it will be interesting to see where it goes.
And think about
Future's
it. You could
here, y'all.
You could basically have a pane of glass in front of you, and then using that same technology, granted a future version of it, this little pane of glass could ultimately, you know, just create the user interface for your computer or whatever you need in front of you, and it could be 3D, and you can interact
and
with it.
And you can
all sorts of
like take
things.
The mouse off of the computer, like you're looking at the monitor.
Oh,
you can take it off of the computer and click on things in the environment.
Yep.
That it's so cool.
And this goes to what I've been saying, and so many of you technology naysayers out there will say, computer mice and keyboard perfectly good enough. But this is where we are heading. it's a demo, and, you know, it baby steps going forward, but this is one step forward to the alternate UI to replace what we're using now.
Yeah, but I think ultimately even they recognize that a mouse and keyboard is still what we're going to be using for power users, for, you know, for the people who make these things. Like, they're still going to be using a mouse and keyboard to write the code and everything.
Unfortunately.
I mean, that's the efficient way of doing it. You're not going to be using the HoloLens to write code.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, another one. Open heart surgery. Simulation. Maybe.
Again, not physically touching anything is the thing. Mm. But
still could be interesting, though. I mean, that is, I agree, though, Shane. Like, being able to see that in 3D and kind of look over it and everything. That would be very cool.
For me, though, the one that was the most amazing was the demo of working with JPL and, you know, being able to create a virtual environment of what the rover is currently seeing on Mars.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, there's Windows 10. That took quite some time, but as you can tell, we are both very enthusiastic about this. And,
both?
Well, you don't seem as enthusiastic as Reed and I.
Oh, I'm kind of enthusiastic. I mean, I to sum up, I guess, I with Windows 7, that was kind of that was what Vista should have been, right? And I think Windows 10 is kind of what Windows 8 and 8.1 should have been, or it seems like it's going to be. It's that kind of culmination.
Very excited about
this. I don't know. I think it's a quantum leap forward for Windows, and, you know, the same way 3.1 to 95 was. and speaking on that same front, the icons finally in Windows 10 look very nice.
Yeah. I mean, I ran Windows 7 from the beta all the way through, and I was really excited about that the whole time because it was just so much, such a big step forward coming from XP. Ugh. And, I mean, Vista just didn't work, so I skipped that one. But, I mean, I've used 7, 8, 8.1 all the way since, and I've loved every one of them, but I think that 10 is probably going to be where it's at.
Again. You've loved them as if they're your own children, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Microsoft, woo.
Woo.
Anyways, someone's to close off, I'm going to say that, you know, as I've said for a long time, Microsoft has the grand vision. They just don't have the implementation. So maybe this is, you know, a chance of finally seeing the implementation come true.
Yeah. Well, they've got to iterate, and that's what software's about.
Woo!
That's what they're doing.
All right. Well, sorry if that put anyone to sleep, but this is the Windows 10 podcast this week. Moving on, Skill of the Month update. Currently, Tim is still in first place, maintaining a nice linear trajectory with 11.7 million experience gains so far. Second place is still JamAndy52 with 4.2. And third place is Sunset Fish with 2.8 million XP gained.
That is a shitload of XP. What is... Yeah. Oh, Hunter. What? 11 million in Hunter. Look at that. Linear line. That's insane.
That's impressive.
That is actually perfectly linear.
If you looked at the daily,
couple of days, which are insane.
Yeah, I know what he's doing, but I'm not allowed to say what the method is.
It seems like a bunch of other people are perfectly linear too.
Yeah.
Especially Lord Rickles, no. Zero Brian, XP.
Brian's got 4 XP.
He got 4 XP.
How do you even get 4 XP?
Who knows? It's Brian. He sucks.
Alrighty, well, with that being said, we got a couple of achievements of the week this week. First one is Imperialis with 99 strength on the 20th. Congratulations to you.
And then Yoshi 610 with 99 magic on January 18th, 2015.
Good job. Woo. Good job.
Brad, do you have a pick?
No, can we reuse something from Windows 10?
One.
Is that a pick? Oh, no, you go.
I have one. It is a game called Roach Fusion. If you have...
It's actually Roche.
Roche? Well, yeah. How do you know that?
Because it's named after the Roche limit, which deals with the amount of force an object can take before it breaks up.
Well, it's named after the Roche limit, so... okay. Roche Fusion?
Yes.
Okay. It's made by... One of my friends actually made this game. I will throw that disclaimer out here. I am biased, but it's... very much like Galaga. You remember Galaga, Shane?
Kind of. Yeah.
It's co-op. It's got co-op. The music is amazing.
I was just listening to it in the video.
It's pretty great, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
What?
Continue.
I lost my train of thought.
Oh.
Thank you.
You were last talking about the music.
Ah, yes, the music. Well, just reading the description. Roche Fusion... Roche? Roche, right?
Yes.
Okay. Roche Fusion is a retro, over-the-top space shooter. An all-you-can-shoot buffet, fast-paced and procedurally generated with crazy waves of enemies, awesome upgrades, and wicked boss fights. Also explosions. Lots of explosions. It's very fun.
Yay.
And it has full controller support, too. And Steam achievements.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And Steam leaderboards.
Can I say can I say the guy's name who made this?
Sure.
Good job, Sirion. Good job.
Woo!
Oh no, my Steam is in Russian because I accidentally went to a Russian link a little while ago. What is happening?
До свидания, comrade.
No, Shane's in Russian too. No.
Da.
Nah, that's the only two Russian words I know. It's da and до свидания.
Oh, good. Let's keep it that way.
The second one mean?
Farewell.
Really? It's like eight syllables to say
I know.
Bye.
I know.
Ugh.
Anyways, well, I think we should all learn Russian because
no.
I think if anybody lives in Europe, we might be speaking that language one day. But anyways... Roche Fusion available on Steam. $13 Canadian. I'm not sure what that is in the US prices.
Oh, you guys suck. It's $12 here in the Freedom States.
What currency does your Steam use over there?
United States dollars.
No, I'm asking Brad.
US dollars. It's 12 US
oh,
dollars.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you.
That, well, yeah, but I still have to convert that. When I actually pay for
it. I know.
So.
But ours gets marked up now.
The
currency thing. So. Anyways.
I probably have to pay PayPal something. I don't know how it works.
Yeah. Alrighty. What have we been up to? Let's start with Earth this week.
Well, had a great week of classes. It's been very rainy, though, which is never fun when you have to trek around a university campus.
Need your poncho and gumboots, eh?
No, I just wear jeans and a t-shirt and go outside. Just walk to class. I don't need no umbrella.
Okay.
I find you get wet anyway, so it's like there's no point.
I've always found that as well.
I always need to wear a hat so my glasses don't get hit by the rain.
Nerd.
Oh, okay.
And I am, as soon as this is over, I'm heading back to the AT&T store and getting an actual Windows phone. And I will have that for you guys next week.
Wait. So what did they give you the first time?
Android.
Oh, good.
Give me the Android version.
Oh. I think Brian likes that one.
Because it's an HTC One.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So One.
Good.
Woo!
Anything else?
Anything?
Yeah.
No, I don't think there's anything else.
Alrighty. How about you, Brad?
When was the last time I was on a show?
Oh, God, last summer.
Actually, like this time last year, like
no, summer? our summer,
okay.
Real summer, you commie.
I finished my degree.
Woo!
I finished that in November, and I got a job with a software development company called Enlightened Designs. So since then, I've been making websites.
Fancy.
Which has been good fun, but we are Microsoft affiliated, unfortunately. So I've been learning .NET and ASP.NET, C Sharp and stuff, going back to my roots. It's the first thing we ever did at uni. C Sharp.
And the first thing you ever learned was Visual Basic.
Well, yeah.
And I corrected that path.
When I started learning Visual Basic, but yeah, that was one of the first things I ever learned. God forbid, I'm never going back to that again. I actually probably know it worse now than I did all those years ago. But yeah, so that's been really good. I had to learn to wake up at like 6 a.m. But apart from that, it's been good fun.
Good. Any chances of making a comeback to RS?
No. I thought that was clear.
Oh. Any chances of participating in the next bonus XP weekend with Neil Layton?
No. Zero. Okay.
I remember once when you guys did 18 hours and all got fire capes.
We didn't get fire capes. We tried to.
Oh, okay.
I never got one. I don't think anyone else ever did either.
Alrighty then.
Failure.
Yeah, before EOC. Anyways, well, if there's nothing else, I guess I'll just chat a bit about some stuff. Yes, am I good?
Yeah, you're good.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your show, Sport.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yes, dear leader.
Kiss the ring.
No.
That escalated quickly.
Last night, I was doing a farming run on RS, and something amazing happened.
This is how all of the great stories start.
Aw, did you find love?
No. I got 88 herbs from a single farming run. That is a new record.
You found ear. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes. We already talked about that earlier, but
yeah,
88
yeah, we
herbs.
Good. Glad I got that right.
88 herbs.
You got 88 herbs.
Yes.
Is that a lot? I can't remember how many.
Yeah, that is a lot. That is a lot, especially for now.
I have 99 farming and I don't know patches, anymore. But, how good is that?
What's the average per patch with that?
Okay, the average is 7 herbs per patch if you're just using, you know, the magic secateurs and nothing else. I have not calculated an average with using green fingers and juju farming potion, but I think it's going to be much higher than 7. So with that being said, you definitely want to invest in those because that is a new record. My previous record was 72.
So what was your profit for that run?
I made 675K raw, and they were Lantatimi seeds. Let me just check what Lantatimi seeds are currently worth. Internet seems to be going a bit slow, too. Lants are at 18K, so if we take 675 minus 18 times 6, 567K profit.
Oh, my God.
Say that again?
567k profit.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, son.
Mm-hmm. So,
sounds OP. I'm sure farming didn't used to be that easy.
Well, we have a sixth herb patch now with the patch in Priftiness and, of course, the farming potion and the aura as well. But, yeah, aside from that, just been doing the ports and little interesting things like that, trying to, fund the 120 farming project. Alrighty, anything else before we wrap this one up?
No, I think that's everything.
No.
Well, with that being said, we'll see you next week, everybody, and have a good weekend.
Woo!
Catch you later.
Bye, everyone.